Marriage and family. According to the Bible, that's the important part, you know. I always kind of got tickled at marriage counselors that were on their third or fourth marriage. Like, maybe they're trying to learn by practicing or something, I don't know. But the scripture gives us a real solid foundation for the idea of being married, what it's supposed to be like, family and that kind of thing. The idea of last week, you know, in other words, we keep everything in context. And we're going to do that a lot with this. The first thing is, remember that last week, you know, he's talking about living as light in a darkened world where, you know, they're not following the ways of God. They have their own way of defining what's good, what's right, what's true. And we don't want to follow their ideas of what they say is good, right, and true in regard to morality. And I would also say in regard to marriage and what's going on in our society today is pretty bad. We have, you know, a lot of folks not waiting to get married, a lot of folks not wanting to get married legally because they're afraid of it, and they, you know, end up living together and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of worldly ideas about marriage, and we want our marriages and our families to be based on what Scripture says, right? The other thing, when we get into this stuff, you know, just understand, this is not about, you know, what you did in the past or what, this is about where you are today. You can't do anything about mistakes you already made, right, Nino? You can't do anything about the mistakes you've already made. You know, you gotta. But you take the Word of God where you are, and you apply it, and you live with it, and you embrace it, right? So, the other part of this is you don't want to take this out of the context of everything that we've talked about thus far. In other words, what Paul is doing is giving us a basic, you know, guide to living a Christian life. And so, you know, he started off by things that build unity, and that was like to be humble and kind and hold, you know, don't blow up in your anger, put wrath away. Forgive and be loving, right? Be patient and loving. That keeps unity. The idea of growing, of maturing, using God's gifts to become men and women of God. Those things are going to help you tremendously if you do it. We're trying to grow in Christ, be taught in Christ, put on the new self, put on Christ. You know, the more that we are all living a Christ-like life, the better our homes are going to be. We're going to be created, you know, to be like God in righteousness, in holiness. We're not getting angry, but we're not going to sin, right? Think about that in your home. Good idea. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Good idea, right? Don't give the enemy any place in your home. One of the things that, you know, don't give them a foothold. Just think of your house as a fortress with the blood of Christ at the door. And you know, this is God's house. This is not, you know, there's no place for the enemy here. So as much as he said that about our lives, you know, very much true about our homes as well. Let's keep the Holy Spirit excited and happy, you know, right? Don't make the Spirit sad, those kinds of things. Be kind and forgiving. Without kindness and forgiving, you're not going to have any kind of a life or relationship. And this is, of course, our closest relationship. Use words that build up. All these things were things that Paul said to us in general about being Christians. And so when you move into the Christian home, that little nucleus of the Christian family, right? Of course, you want those things very present in the home. You know, so that is what led up to the point where he tells us to submit or be subject. I use the NRSV here. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body, of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. This is a tough word, this word hupotasio, which means to be subject, to be under the firm control, to be subordinate, you know? Yeah, I see some of the wives, hey, wait a minute, you know? But and I think that it's a very good word for young women, unmarried. I think they all left. They go across the street. I made them stay here today. But just think about this. The idea of I'm going to submit to that person. That's a scary thought. That can make you very uncomfortable. The idea of, you know, I'm going to let you have control over my life. It can be frightening. There's certain people that you know, we really don't want to have control over our lives, right? I mean, if you give yourself to someone who's, you know, a liar, a cheat, a brute, you know, unforgiving, mean-spirited, you know, that kind of stuff, right? And you say, I'm going to submit to that. Man, yeah, right? That's a, you know, it's scary. And I think that's what upsets people about this text. It's not that the text is so, like, you know, submit, you know, why, I joke around and say, wives submit, you know. But it's the idea of the brokenness of man, right? The sinfulness of man that makes that a frightening idea. The idea of, you know, what kind of a person am I going to submit to? What kind of a person is it that I would willingly sit under and let them make decisions in my life, let them guide me, let them, you know, lead me through this world, right? It is a, you know, repeated thing in Colossians 3, wives submit or be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It's not a word that you can change. It means what it means. It does mean submit or be subject to be under the authority of. Because again, he associates, he says, just as, you know, the church is subject to the authority of Christ, and I don't know about you, but in my walk with Christ, it's not a negotiation. It is a humble submission. Lord, what do you want? And then when I know what the Lord wants, it, you know, it's amen, Lord, right? It's not, you know, but wait a minute, Lord, I want to do, you know, this thing instead, or I want it to be this way. No, you submit to the Lord, right? And so that same word, and that's the analogy that he's making here, the simile is that, you know, wives are to submit to their husbands just as, you know, the church submits to Christ. So it's not a negotiated term. It's a term that should scare you. Right? Especially those who are single and aren't married. It should scare you. It should make you think, oh, wait a minute, is this person that I'm about to connect with worthy of submission? Because let's say it this way, is there anyone in this room who would say Jesus Christ is not worthy of submission? You see? So that's the real question. Again, you know, if it's too late, it's too late. Sorry, Barbie. You know, it's like, you know, it happens, you know. But it, you know, and again, I wish there were more single young ladies in here to hear that, because the idea is that, you know, this is the Word of God. God made a structure. God made an order of the house. He made an order of the world. You know, the family is like the core of society. It's like the bricks that build the building of society. And when you break up that family, when you start to mess with that, it really messes up the structure of society. There's so many problems in our world that you know, the government's trying to solve, and they're throwing money at it, and they're trying to do things that are structurally different to try to help it. But what's really broken is the home. What's really broken is the family, and that has been so tampered with and so messed up over the last several generations that our whole culture is like teetering on collapse because of the brokenness of the family. Now, as Paul said last time, he says, yeah, we're supposed to be light in a darkened world. So the Christian home should shine out different. It should be different than the secular home, than the person that doesn't believe in God, from the people that think it's just as well to live together as be married, right? It really should shine out as a different structure, as a different set of rules, a different governance that goes on. And here is you know, God's order was God made man and he made woman for man. I'm glad, as you know, that God made woman for man. God was correct when he said it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to try to, you know, do things, you know, on our own. And you know, there's such a hole that gets filled in by having a marriage, by having a good partner in life. I have somebody to connect to. And the you know, the idea of submission and the order of structure, just be careful, right, who you're going to connect to. Just be careful who you're going to marry, who you're going to join with, because according to God, it's supposed to be a really good fit. It's supposed to be, you know, a couple of people that together are working together under Christ's authority, right, to be God's core of the society of the church, at least, and if not that, you know, the society of the world. If all homes were Christian homes, and I don't mean claiming Christ, I mean if all homes were Christian homes, our society would be so much stronger. You know, our kids wouldn't be running off, you know, threatening to sue teachers and all the nonsense I don't want to get into. Okay. So what is it? You know, the idea then is, you know, it's a question of who would you, you know, say is worthy. And I go back to this list, right? That's the person that you would subject yourself to. That's the person. In other words, the person that is taking what God has given us and using every bit of it to become the person of God. You know, one thing I tell people, like, I had a bad experience when I was young. I thank God that he saved me when I was 22 before I continued much longer in the path that I was going. And I became a Christian, and I was single when I became a Christian, and I didn't have anything to do with women for about 7 years. And I realized what I needed was for God to make me the man of God that was, you know, close to being right for my wife, right? In other words, that the first thing that you work on as a person of God to make a family of God is you've got to be that person of God. You've got to become a person that takes all the things of God and gets them into your life and is working on that and growing in that. Then you're ready. You know, I've known people through the years. They make bad mistakes. They get together. They get with the wrong person. The thing blows up. And rather than say, you know what, maybe there's something wrong here and I've got to work on who I am, they go off and do the same thing again. They just go to, what will fix it is another relationship. No, that doesn't fix it, because you take the same brokenness and you add it to the same brokenness and you end up with something that's going to break and it explodes again. I've known folks, you know, 4-5 times they do that and still they're not, you know, looking and saying, God, help me be the man of God that's ready to be a husband, that's ready to be a wife for the ladies, you know, but to be that person of God that's ready to make a Christian home. So, like, you know, as you know, young people, the best thing we can do, and yes, I'm not one of you anymore, but the best thing we can do as young people is to grow strong in Christ. Let God make us that person that, you know, as a man, someone would say, I would willingly and lovingly be subject to you because of who you are in Christ. That's the idea, right? And so, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Now, this is an imperative. An imperative means that it is a command from God. Okay? And this is not worldly love. You know what I'm saying? This is not lust. This is not hormones. This is love. Like Christ loved the church. It's interesting that, you know, he says to the wives, submit or be subject the same way the church is subject to Christ. And here it is, the simile again, you know, husbands, love just as Christ loved. So that both of us are supposed to be kind of taking Christ's part in the relationship. We are both identifying with Christ. This is how Christ would do it. This is how Christ would do it, right? In other words, the church to Christ and Christ to the church. It's that relationship of caring and loving that comes from God. This is not something you're going to learn anywhere else than except from God. Only God gives us the power to love like Christ loves. Only God gives us the power to submit like Christ has the church submission to him. Only God can put those relationships in their right place, right? And so it's awesome the way he does it. And again, both of them are imperatives. I mean, this is not, again, something that, well, I'll put up with her. Or, you know, he says, you must love your wife. You must absolutely love your wife. He gave himself up for her. This is, you know, one of the Philippians 2, 5 through 11. What Jesus Christ did for us, Paul uses as the analogy of what a husband does for his wife. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, right? Took on humanity, took on flesh, made himself a servant, and suffered and died on the cross so that we could be saved. He gave himself up for us. He loved us that much that he surrendered all that he was in order for us to be able to be his. And so Paul uses that awesome expression of love to identify a husband's love for his wife. A husband's love is not, you know, just sweetie pie, gooey gooey, you know, huggy huggy, kissy kissy. It is deep. It is other-centered. It's other-centered. God so loved the world, he gave. Jesus so loved us, he died. Husband, love like that. It's not self-centered, it's other-centered, right? And so the husband is one who gives himself up for the wife. The other part of this, and the analogy is about Christ and the church, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of the word, to present her, the church, to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind, so that she may be holy and without blemish. This is talking about the work of Christ in us, that Christ did that so that we could be better, so that we could go closer to God, so that we could be the children of God. But in the analogy, isn't he also saying to the husband that however you love your wife, you should be helping her to be better? You should be helping her to be able to be stronger, help her to be able to be assured of herself, help her to be able to stand up and be everything that God's called her to be. I mean, this is our closest relationship in the world. In this relationship, we express Christ as deeply or more deeply probably than any other relationship in our life. And this is where, you know, again, Paul is calling for this depth of godly relationship between man and woman in order to create, you know, a Christ-like relationship, Christ-centered, holy, right? The home reflects Christ's presence and his leading and his following. You know, does Christ ask us to do what's impossible? Does Christ intentionally ever cause us harm? Does Christ do anything, even if it's painful, even if it's hard? Isn't it usually for our betterment? Isn't it usually for our good, right? So Christ does this. And we're being asked as men to do the same thing. Love is defined as ministry here that helps glorify the object of love. We are the object of God's love. And God died so that we could become more glorious. Right? And again, think of that. Husbands, your love should make your wife more glorious. Your love should be thinking about what's going to make her be able to shine better, you know, and that I, you know, that could be defined. It should make her better. It should make her better. Woe to us husbands who ever make things harder on our wives. Happy wife, happy home. but also in Christ, you know, in Christ as we're trying to, you know, we're trying to care for each other. This is, again, when you think of subjection, go back to the other side, to the lady's side, the wife's side. The reason why women get so upset at the idea of wives submit is because submit to what? But submitting to someone who is only trying to make you better, only trying to make you more glorious, only trying to encourage and strengthen you, that's not too hard to submit to. Just like it's not hard for us to submit to Christ, because that's what he's doing to us. And even if it's hard, right? In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes it and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery. I am applying to Christ and the church. Each of you, however, should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. Again, the idea of carrying the character of Christ, as all that we've said before, that whole list of what Ephesians taught us, you know, unity, maturity, morality, carrying that character into our home, into our relationship, to nourish, providing, you know, both spiritual and physical care, to you know, want your partner to be strong, to be well, to be, and again, all sides, not just buying bling bling stuff. That's no good, right? That's not nourishing. That's an excuse, is what that is. I feel guilty that I'm a rat, so here's some diamonds, you know? No, it's not that, you know, right? It's about nurturing and caring about who she is, right? I want her to be strong and better. It's about empowering her to use her gifts in the home, in the body of Christ, in society, wherever she is, to be able to use her gifts to, again, show that glory of Christ in her to others, right? We never want to inflict pain. We never want to cause distress. We want to care tenderly for our wives. Consider her needs, as I said before about Christ. What if Christ would have been selfish? Where would we be? Yeah, so we consider her needs. Now, guys, don't you see the same thing is true for us? We're talking about a major commitment. I'm going to put this person first in my thinking. I'm going to nurture, cherish, build up, glorify this person, right? Is this person worthy of such attention? You see? That's the kind of stuff. I mean, Cliff and I, we know we married over our heads and stuff, but that's, you know. But that's it. It's again that same question, you know, this idea of connecting with people on a very shallow level makes no sense whatsoever. Right? And that's why there's so much brokenness. That's why, you know, the world has taught us to take things so casually and to be so dirty in it. Right? As opposed to what God is saying. God says, don't take it casually. Realize that you know, what I'm calling you to, what God is calling you to, I should say, what God is calling you to is a relationship that is as deep as you can be. And that you know, men, you're going to nurture, care, consider first. You're going to be Christ in every way that you can be in that household and in that relationship. And wives, you are going to be able to subject yourself to that leadership, right? To respect it. Now that is the marriage that God designed, but it's not a shallow thing, is it? It's not something that should be done casually, and it's definitely not something you get into after three dates, right? It's something that it requires the deepest commitment. And one of the problems that's happening in our culture right now is the shallowness of our relationships. The shallowness of what people are telling us, teaching us through media, TV, or whatever, through psychology, through whatever, teaching us very shallow ideas of what it means to be a husband and what it means to be a wife. And we need to stand as light in the brokenness of this culture and say, in the name of Jesus, that's not the way God intended it to be. In the name of Jesus, God intended us to have strong, moral, Christ-centered, Christ-filled homes. God called us to be, you know, His people and His building blocks. And if nothing else, we're building the church through that relationship. And we could build societies. We will build the kingdom of heaven in such an ideal. No marriage, though. Yeah. So I hope this has been helpful. I know for some of you guys, you know, it's the first years of marriage, and some are getting close. And, you know, the idea, though, of you know, not in a cliche way, saying let Christ be the center of your home. Looking at the depth and the breadth of what Christ has said to us. As far as our homes. It's a very deep commitment. And by the way, in my life, in my experience as a Christian, it's been the most satisfying, wonderful part of walking with God is to have a good wife, a good home, a place where Christ is honored. It has been like the best part of my life on this planet. And it can be. It can be just that. Amen? Amen. 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 Let me pray with you there. Father, we thank you so much, and we ask that your Holy Spirit and grace will be with us. We pray, Father, that you will help us all to grow to be the men and women that you want us to be, that we will fit into our places, Almighty God, as you call us to, and that we will honor the name of Christ in whatever sphere we are called. And that especially in our homes, Lord, indeed, we will focus on you and let you lead us, let you guide us, let you make us, Lord, the people you want us to be and the homes and families you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen.